web at newspress.com.
Welcome to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. And Diane Duvernay, your host every week right here, and we welcome all of you. And Diane is looking at me and saying, why is that such a short introduction? Because I forgot to bring up the script.
Well, you know, you're good on the fly. I'm good on the fly. So how are you doing today?
Well, I think the reason I got confused and didn't bring up the script is I just got off the phone with my accountant. I had a very large fight, which I've never done before. And the fight is about the fact that I pay $790 in taxes. And I don't understand that. The fact that I've been paying every year $790, $800, sometimes even $825, is just very upsetting to me.
It's too much for you to handle, right?
It really is. And
well, on that note, we have a great guest with us today, Jennifer Fried. She's the best-selling author and a psychological astrologer, which I can't wait to find out what that really means, and an all-around wonderful person. I ran into Jennifer a couple weeks back at while with you, Neil, and my kids just love you, Jennifer. So I'm so glad you're able to make the show. Thanks for being here with us.
I'm thrilled to be on a show about finance and bring astrology into it. And I too am a little miffed, Neil, that I pay any taxes considering I don't make $290 million a year.
Oh, look at that. I think the radio station just muted Neil altogether because we can't even hear him.
I thought that the best part of the story was it wasn't because of depreciation, which is usually the reason why most real estate developers don't pay taxes. He just didn't make any money, which, you know, is such an irony since so many of his voters have said they voted for him because of his business acumen. Anyway,
it's true. It's an interesting time, definitely. And, you know, now has the full tax return been released or has it just been snippets?
Well, the problem is that the Times is not releasing what they found because they claim that if they did, it would reveal who their source was. There must be some writings on top of it. So there'll be some people that say it's not real, including Trump, apparently, who said that this morning. So this will not be a release that everyone can kind of pore over. Not that anyone would be able to figure it out. So let's get to something more concrete, which is our articles for today. And the first article is entitled, this is from the Wall Street Journal, Pension Funds Look to Increase Wages on Stock Market. Pension funds and endowments have been shifting away from U.S. stock market for some years now. And now some are reconsidering the decision, which is so typical of large institutions. You know, the stock market's up 45% since March, and now pension funds are thinking about getting into the stock market. And in fact, they have reduced the amount of money. In the latest year, those pension funds with over $1 billion had 47% of their portfolio in equities versus 32% back in 2013. And you know, I'm not suggesting that they're going to be hitting the top, but the, you know, follow the leader instinct here is very, very typical of major institutions where they make a decision and then a few years go by and they made the wrong decision. And just at the wrong time, they jump in.
So many people do that. It's not just institutions because institutions are run by people. And so it's that emotion that drives people's decisions, which oftentimes in investing, you want to do the exact opposite of what you're feeling at the time, because that's usually how you're able to make money.
This next article, they tried to win by losing less. They lost anyway from the Wall Street Journal, is about investing in low volatility stocks and low volatility funds. And the theory has always been that if you buy low volatility equities, then in difficult markets, you'll do better. What happened this time is it didn't work. Not only did it not work, but when the market bounced back in the spring, low volatility stocks didn't do as well. And so this article is basically saying that, you know, anything that you do that is based upon historical hit precedent in the stock market, at least, is not likely to, not necessarily going to be true. And this, you know, is something we talked about this before. Nicholas Taleb in his book Black Swan talked about this as well, that, you know, low volatility is basically, certainly when it's based on statistics like beta, are less than totally reliable, particularly since they may have been low volatility yesterday, but not necessarily today.
You know, you're absolutely right. And this return in the market, and the reason why the stock market is up, is primarily because of the five major tech companies. So when you look at something like that, it's very difficult to find low volatility stocks unless you had Microsoft, Apple, Google, Facebook in the portfolio. It just makes it, it makes it that much more challenging.
And interestingly, volatility, typically when you look at the stock market, is measured in the standard deviation from the mean or the averages, and that can be a plus or a minus. So by being low volatility, it also could mean that it goes up less. It's not just minus, it's plus or minus.
That's so true. And most people think of volatility as just being downward pressure on the market, but the volatility cuts both ways. And everybody likes the volatility on the upside because everyone likes to make money. However, if you get a lot of upside volatility, it usually correlates with that downside chance of also having that volatility.
The next article is entitled from the New York Times, Bond Yields Encourage Risk-Taking. And what we have today is, on a inflation-adjusted basis, we actually have negative rates. 10-year treasury rates, when you deduct inflation, are actually showing a minus today. So if you invest in a treasury bill today, 10 years from now, on an inflation-adjusted basis, you'll have less money. And so what we have is people looking for not only higher returns, but looking for any return. And what we've seen is a movement not only to the stock market, but also to any real asset. Real asset meaning anything other than dollar denominated. And so you see art and gold and some and stocks, which I guess I guess you would include in this category. And so what you
Really, you're seeing it, Neil, you're seeing it, that, you know, that the fact that bond yields are so low, that's one of the major reasons why the stock market is, it has gone up so much, because there's really only two markets left. There's the real estate market and the stock market, to allow you to get any return with rates this low, where you're losing money over a long term. You know, when you have a 1.2% yield on a 30-year bond, who in their right mind is going to lock up money for 30 years for 1.2%? And then if you calculate inflation, it's a negative yield.
And at the same time, the dollar is dropping. So anything that you keep in dollars rather than real assets is going to be worth less if the dollar keeps dropping.
Go ahead with the next article.
Okay. The next article is the SEC adds hurdles for investor proposals. And, you know, I guess it's consistent with other of the current administration's pushes. This is a change in the rule that permits anyone to go in and complain about what the company's doing at a shareholders meeting. What now is being required is that the shareholder that does the complaining has to have at least $25,000 of stock a year before the annual meeting. So what they're trying to do is silence, you know, the typical not only gadfly complainer, but also anyone that is a small investor that wants to make a complaint.
I wonder if they'll allow smaller investors to aggregate and make complaints.
No, and that's specifically that's against the rules. You can't do that. You can't aggregate people with less than that threshold. And the last article we have is also similar, and that is, I think, more serious, and that is the SEC is going to permit, and they voted in a 3-2 vote last week, to changed the rules on what's an accredited investor. An accredited investor used to be someone that had over $1 million worth of investable assets. That means money not including their house, who would be eligible to buy certain sophisticated investments like hedge funds, with the idea being to protect them from themselves. And this decision basically says that any knowledgeable employees, and that's put into quotes in this article, of non-public firms would be qualified as well, so that would not have to have that type of money in order to buy very sophisticated and complicated funds. And I think this just opens literally the door to people getting involved into things that they really don't have the understanding and can't really judge the risk that they're taking.
And in the article, did it have any rationale about why they're loosening the accredited investor standards?
They basically said that that it's being restrictive. It's not fair. The small investor, the unsophisticated investor, have not been given the opportunity to invest in things that the very rich can. But you know, that's like saying you should have an equal vote when you go to the doctor and you look at the X-rays. You should be able to say what you think the X-rays say and have the vote equal to what the doctor says. It's sort of silly.
Yeah, the problem with that rationale, I think, is that, you know, what you're looking at is people, the threshold to get into those investments of hedge funds is usually a fairly sizable sum of money. There are very few hedge funds that are going to take less than $50,000. And if you don't have that type of investable assets, you start to be very concentrated in one investment as opposed to being diversified. And with hedge funds, it's oftentimes not liquid as well, meaning you can't convert it to cash if you need it. And therefore, you know, you start to add all those things together and people that think that they know how it works could really get hurt seriously, very badly in terms of their financial lives.
Well, just a final point, the article, and this is the ultimate circular reasoning. It says supporters say the change is appropriate because SEC requirements other disclosures don't apply to certain very sophisticated investors. So why then should you restrict people from a test like this? Well, that's just so crazy. I mean, the fact that they don't apply is not because it's a good idea. They probably should apply to everybody. Some of these investments that are available are just not, the fact that they're exempted because they're so complicated is in itself something that we should be questioning. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California, of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached 805-564-1290.
Or you could email us at moneytalk1290@gmail.com. And if you're just joining us, we have the pleasure of having Dr. Jennifer Fried, who is a best-selling author and psychological astrologer, with us on the air. And so we got to start, Jennifer, with, usually I start with some history on you, but what is a psychological astrologer? What does that mean? Because we've never had one of you on before.
Well, there's very few of us that are legitimately both things. So it means I have my PhD in psychology, and I've been working with clients and studying psychology since I was a young adult. And I'm also an internationally certified astrologer, and doing that particular work for all those years as well. And when you combine them, you get the both of what I call your cosmic DNA. A birth chart, if really looked at carefully, can reveal what I call your spiritual lessons this lifetime and your talents and strengths. And psychology, as you know, is the study of the psyche and looking at what makes people tick and their patterns and their cultural history and their family biography. So when you put the two together, it's this exquisite, very laser-like opportunity for somebody to see not just what they signed up for as a human that incarnated this lifetime, but also how to get through both the very difficult times, but also make use of the optimum timings.
So it kind of opens people's minds to what makes them tick individually, as we all have different things that, you know, we're prone to do, whether it be strengths or weaknesses.
Yes, and what astrology particularly is great at is timing. So you really get to see the lesson plan for right now for this country, for example, is extraordinary aggression and intensity and deconstruction and rebirth. That is the astrology lesson for this time. And in your personal chart, you can find out what's the lesson plan right now in your cosmic school of evolution, and then really adapt yourself to that lesson with much more integrity, motivation, and understanding.
What do you mean by from the view of a country? Can you do a chart of a country?
Yes, but what I'm talking about is the cosmic chart of the world right now is, as we look all around the world, is in one great, enormous birth process. And there's a dying going on, and there's a birth that we're intending, but it gets very bloody and messy before the birth comes. And everybody is struggling to make meaning of this and also find a new way to go about being a world together. The way we've done it systemically has left far too many people out of the equation, and it's unsustainable.
All right, Jennifer, so the million-dollar question, when is the birth? Yeah. That's the million-dollar question.
Well, I can tell you this with great clarity. It's going to get much worse before it gets better, and it's actually looking like by March of 2021, we'll have a great sense of what it is we've been able to achieve. So I agree with many pundits, astrology has said this for a long time, we will not know the election results on the day of this election. And it will be some kind of protracted, aggressive bid for power on both sides. And I don't think we'll really know the full catastrophe or liberation of the whole thing until 2021.
Okay, well, isn't that depressing, Jennifer?
No, I don't find it depressing. So I want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine. So Beryl, who happens to be Neil's partner, is a political activist her whole life and one of the most heart-centered people I've ever met. And she has spent 24 hours a day working on voters' rights, not for either side, just for people to be part of this process. So part of what happens when we're in an emergency or a crisis is all of a sudden everybody's called to action. We've all been at a certain level of complacency for far too long. And as things get worse and things are boiling up, people are called to act. And I'm very excited to have one of the most democratic elections of our lifetime, meaning I think we'll have more participation than ever because people's lives are on the line. On both sides of the aisle, they feel that. And I think there's a great possibility in that of people realizing that every voice matters.
I couldn't agree with you more in terms of every voice matters and really getting out the vote. So as a little side note, anyone who's listening, make sure you vote this election. And so now back to you, Jennifer, in terms of how did you get involved in psychology, which is a more mainstream path, and then how did you come about astrology and make that a part of your overall being?
Well, when I started studying psychology at 18, 19 in college, as you said, it was mainstream. It felt like a good fit for me. I've always been fascinated by people and wanting to be helpful. But at the same time, I was introduced to astrology, and it completely spoke to me on a very deep level of meaning. And it wasn't popular then. It's hysterical to watch the rise of astrology. I was way ahead of my time. But I just kept pursuing the knowledge and education because it meant so much to me. By the time I had studied it 10 years, people were dribbling in saying, I want to understand this and find out about this. And I started a school training people in astrology and psychology, and that's over 20 years now. So I started quite young on both tracks, but I wasn't as visible much later.
And so do you use the astrology piece in your therapy practice?
I did when people asked for it. I never actually foisted that upon anyone. I think like any art form, you don't say you must do this. So if you came to me, Diane said, I want you also to look at my chart, fine. I never brought it in unless somebody brought it in. I don't practice therapy currently because I'm way, way too busy with the nonprofit that I contribute to called AHA. And then my astrology practice has just taken off beyond any conceivable limit.
I wonder how much of your increased astrology interest is coming about because people are so afraid and are so isolated because of COVID that there's a combination of fear and isolation that just causing people to look for some direction in some form or another.
I think there's three reasons astrology has taken off. It's by far the most Googled, most consumer-driven market right now, but it's way before COVID. One, religion has disappointed many, many people because institutional religion has divided people and has had a lot of isms in religion. And so for many of the millennials, that's a no-go. Don't tell me that a woman can't be part of this, a gay person can't be part of this, whatever. That's one big reason. Another huge reason is because we have gone into a completely consumer-oriented society and the soul has been left out of much of the conversation and people are not as happy without having a soulful, meaningful experience of their life. And astrology brings that back in.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course.
Who's asking? I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Sup?
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like. Consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kathleen Eubanks-Ming with the American Academy of Family Physicians. Bullies use power, strength, or popularity to hurt others emotionally or physically. And while you can't be with your child all the time, there are ways you can help. If your child encounters a bully, tell them to get to a safe place and tell an adult. You can also show them how to block online bullies. Teach them they can be more than a bystander and that they can help their peers. For more on bullying, visit familydoctor.org or talk with your family physician.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
So, Jennifer, before the break, we were talking. You were talking about AHA. Let's talk about AHA for a moment, because you're a co-founder of this not-for-profit. So, could you tell us a little bit about it?
Yes, my partner, Randy Friedman, and I were both therapists, educators, and mediators. And when the Columbine massacre happened in 1999, Randy and I decided to start a nonprofit helping teens, educators, and families with social and emotional intelligence, because we believe that if people felt truly connected to each other and had the resources to address their pain and their wounding and their trauma, then they wouldn't be likely to harm each other. So flash forward, and it's now 21 years later, and I'm still the chief content officer. Roxy Petty is the executive director now. And we have served over 50,000 youth educators and parents in the last 21 years, providing a very unique brand of social and emotional learning in school, out of school, etc.
That's wonderful. And so, wow, you should really take a moment and be proud of that work. That's a lot of lives touched for the better through that program at AHA. Now, you created it from scratch?
Yes, Randy and I created it from scratch because we really felt strongly that young people needed many more tools to have healthy relationships, that academics, as we all know, is a fabulous entryway into career. But unless you know how to have healthy, compassionate relationships with other human beings, you really are not going to have a fulfilling life.
Now, has it been something that you've been able to grow outside of the Santa Barbara community? Has other communities from across the country and world really looked at your program and you know, have you been able to teach your method to other places?
Yes, we have provided trainings and consultation throughout the United States. And we're currently working on a national, maybe even international product through Zoom that is an assembly for young people and educators called the AHA Heroes Project. So we are very vested in change throughout the country, and we are considered at this point some of the experts in the country on this topic.
And so what has COVID-19 and this pandemic done to your funding model? I've got to imagine as a nonprofit, you rely on donations from generous supporters, not only individuals, but you know, foundations. How has the pandemic affected your funding source?
Thank you for asking. Well, because I have a good friend named Neil Kreisel, and he's advised AHA in the past, We were one of the only nonprofits that were completely prepared for this disaster. We had quite a cushion. We are running full time, never took a beat off. And we have cultivated loyal donors and grant makers that are in it for the long term. Having said that, we need new people for the cause because we're just getting started. And like I said, with this Heroes Project, we could reach up to 30,000 young people this year with more money and help. But I'm extremely proud of our track record of being able to meet these crises like the one in 2008 and 2012, and now having a very solid financial picture, extremely solid.
One of the interesting things about philanthropy over the last 15 years is the investor class has changed from the 80-year-olds who were interested in getting their name on a building to the 30, 40-year-old Silicon Valley types that are very quantitatively motivated. So they want to see statistics. They want to see what kind of bang for the buck do you get? But what's different about AHA is if you come to one of their sessions and you look at some of the kids and then you go back a year later, you see an incredible change. So it's not about numbers and statistics, even though they do have great numbers and statistics. There is clear evidence that this does change people's lives. And if you have any type of compassion and you look at these kids, you realize that so much of what we think are people who aren't really going to make a contribution to society, not only can, but they become really functional and happy because of this program.
Yeah, I want to mention right now in our Heroes Project, we need about 25 to 27 facilitators for each assembly that we put on for a school that has like 180 kids in the assembly. And we have about 15 alumni that are helping facilitate these assemblies. That's how committed they are to AHA and to helping the world. So this isn't like a one-off where they come to AHA and get a little workshop. This is a way of living that's about paying it forward and being the best you can be.
You know, when you first started talking about emotional intelligence 20 years ago, everyone had to look up wasn't Google on, it was Yahoo, what emotional intelligence was.
Or the actual dictionary.
Right.
Yeah, thank you.
Now it's become mainstream. And yet the idea of how to teach emotional intelligence is still, for some people, a mystery. And one of the things that you've been doing is going around the country and teaching teachers how to be effective in providing a way of getting young people to grasp what emotional intelligence is, which is probably the most singular important quality for success in the real world.
Yeah. Thank you, Neil. Yeah.
So the path you took has now changed in the sense that not only are you teaching teachers, but you're also writing. And yeah, you've written a number of books and you're coming out with the new book.
Well, not just yet. I just came out with a new book, but thanks for your encouragement. I have another book that I'm writing now, but I don't know when it's coming out. But I've written over 10 books and probably 50 or 60 articles for every publication you can imagine. I love writing. It's a great way to put my thoughts in order and to passionately discuss with readers what I think is important.
And also,
So tell us about your most recent book.
So this is the first book I've ever written on astrology. All my books prior to this, I'd put in the social emotional category. This astrology book came about because one of my students said to me, "Nobody teaches like you do. I beg you to write a book." And I said, "Well, if you'll help me edit it and keep me on track, I'll do it." And what's really interesting is not only did I write this book very quickly because I'd been teaching it for however many years, but then there was a massive bidding war and I got a really good advance from a very strong publisher. And then it's been, you know, doing quite well and has led to all kinds of other things because the timing was right.
What's the name of it? Are you keeping it a secret?
Use Your Planets Wisely. And anyone would get benefit from this book, because whether you're a beginner or you've never even thought about it, it's a book of self-discovery and intimacy with others. And every single person I know that's actually used the book, it's more like a workbook, Use Your Planets Wisely, has come away telling me anyway that it's been extremely helpful to their relationships and to their self-awareness.
And where does one get this book?
It's on everything. You can get it at Amazon. Every site has it at this point, because Sounds True publishes it, and you can get it on that site. But pretty much just put in Google, Use Your Planets Wisely, pick the one you want to support, and buy it from there.
Are you in any local bookstores?
Yeah, Chaucer's, definitely. Paradise Found, definitely. I think it's pretty much everywhere you'd want to go and walk in and buy it here. Yeah.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
Hospice of Santa Barbara is there to help when we're adjusting to living with a life-threatening illness, facing death, anticipating the death of a loved one, or healing our grief after a death. Hospice of Santa Barbara can provide the emotional, social, and spiritual care needed in a supportive, compassionate environment. Hospice of Santa Barbara provides professional counseling for individuals and has many support groups and programs for adults, teens, and children. Services are free, made possible by our community's generosity and by all of the highly trained, wonderful volunteers that give of their time to help those in need. If you would like to make a donation, become a volunteer, or support the important work of Hospice of Santa Barbara, or find out more about hospice services for you or someone you love, please call 563-8820, 563-8820, or visit our website at www.hospiceofsantabarbara.org.
It was a goal that I wanted to achieve from the very beginning.
I'm a 40-year-old man that walked in there to get his high school diploma. I wasn't sure if I could do it. It was very hard for me, but the teachers, the counselors, they help you. One of the teachers was Miss Araceli. Miss Araceli, she gave me direction. Every single time I had a question, she'll put down whatever she's doing and she'll come over and she'll sit there with you until you get it.
At age 47, with the help of his teacher, Marco finished his high school diploma.
50% of getting your high school diploma is walking through those doors. The other 50% is doing the work. Getting your high school diploma, it is a life-changing experience. It really is. It catapults you to where you want to go.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by American Riviera Bank, making your life easier with cutting-edge technology, mobile deposits, free use of every ATM machine in the country, and a level of service other banks can only dream about.
So before the break, we were talking about Jennifer's new book, which is Use Your Planets Wisely. And so, Jennifer, what does that title mean? And tell us a little bit about the book.
Fabulous. There are 10 different planets that make up the astrology chart and one asteroid named Chiron. Each planet represents an archetype, a universal human repeating pattern. And each of those planets is in your chart in a certain sign. And there are 12 signs. So for example, both Diane and Neil's sun sign, which is just your birth date, is in the sign, your sun is in the sign of Gemini. If you are to use your planet wisely, sun and Gemini, you're masters of communication, you're masters of networking, you're incredibly clever, witty, funny, and very informed. That's the best of you. So that would be, I'm coaching you to use your
planet. I love you, wisely. Jennifer. Come on the show anytime.
But here's the not wise. And in my book, I tell the three levels. So if you're in your wise level, that's how you're showing up. When you are in what I call the primitive level, when your brain is in fear or fight or flight, Geminis occur like this: chatty, gossipy, distracted, scattered, shallow, and ADD. So you, my book teaches you, we all vary from these levels, but you can kind of know, oh my gosh, I'm gossiping negatively about myself or somebody else. I must be in the lower level. And then you want to upgrade it to, I actually am a great communicator. What is it I really want to talk about? So that's an example there. Now, your technical engineer, Richard, has his sun sign in Cancer. And the sun in Cancer is vastly different. On the high side, when you're really using it wisely, Cancer is nurturing, feeling, empathetic, compassionate, and a great holder of other people's feelings. But when it isn't in its skillful place, in the primitive place, Cancer can be moody, whiny, needy, clingy, and crabby. So the book just really walks you through each archetype. That's just your sun. But now I want to talk about the moon. The moon is what you need emotionally. It's what you thrive on in terms of connection and how you also take care of other people. Well, Neil, who's a Gemini, very witty, very chatty, very incredibly smart. His moon sign is Pisces, which is the most highly sensitive moon sign of the zodiac. And when it's at its best, he's the most tender, the most vulnerable, the most loving, the most caring, the most connected, because he feels what you feel. But if Pisces isn't used wisely, it can be victim, like high victim stuff. Why me? What about me? You forgot about me, like major abandonment issues. So that would be the low vibration. Shall we talk about your moon sign, Diane, or not?
Sure, Cancer is my moon
wait,
sign.
Wait a minute. Wait a second. Why? What about me?
Exactly. Me. Exactly. Well, that's how that shows up. For Diane, Cancer moon.
You're like great illustration, Neil.
The Cancer moon, Diane, for you is at the high side, is incredibly maternal, like very tuned into what other people need and want, providing it before they ask for it. Incredible sense of emotional safety, like they find their emotional harbor in you. It's a beautiful high energy. It's the moon rules Cancer. So it's an ideal placement on its high side, but on its low side, and one of my daughters has this, oh my God, the emotional drama. I'm hurt. You don't care about me. I can't take it. I'm too emotionally fragile. You know, it's a very brittle place that people can find you in if you're not feeling very strong emotionally. So you have to really work to be the maturity part of that, not the baby part of that.
So what you're saying is if your partner is acting inappropriately, you just start screaming at their sign rather than at them. Is that what the advice
yes,
is?
Yes, Neil, that is a really good strategy. I've seen that, very helpful. Neil, stop being a friggin' Pisces moon. Just stop it. That would work, right. Okay, but anyway, there's 10 archetypes, and there's the sun, moon, Mercury, Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and Chiron. And every single one of those is in the map of your psyche in a certain sign. And that gives you volumes of information about your inner committee and therefore how you'll experience the outer world. For example, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And astrology tells you what you are in terms of all these qualities.
There is a Netflix show on right now, Matchmaker, which is about an Indian matchmaker who
Vedic astrology.
And they is institutionally, and this is true of a great part of India. You make a decision, but then before you actually make the final commitment, you see an astrologer who tells
That's
you whether
right.
or not you are compatible.
That's a very long-standing tradition in what we call Eastern astrology, which is fate-oriented and very different from Western. I do want to mention at this point, for the first time ever in over 30 years, I'm going to be teaching an online astrology course starting tomorrow. And if any of the listeners are interested, they really should sign up because it's closing as of tonight. jenniferfried.com. You'll be able to find out where to register for this course. But I really want to make sure that anyone that's even got the littlest interest, this is the best way in, because it's going to be very beginners and very easy to learn in this format. So it's going to be 12 classes in 6 days, but also recorded for a month. And I really want to welcome your listeners to it.
So say again how you connect to it.
Just go to my website, jenniferfried, FREED.com, and it will pop up for you to register for this course. And today's the last day to register. So please, if you're at all interested, go there. It's also at the most discounted price I've ever offered ever in my whole life, because I wanted to give people a chance. There'll be over 100 people there, but you'll still be able to ask questions, etc.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and believe it or not, we'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Jeff Devine from American Riviera Bank. All of our customers were once just like you, stuck with a bank that kept charging more for less. But when they finally made the decision to change banks, American Riviera Bank made the move easy with mobile deposit, online banking, free use of every ATM in the country, and a level of customer service that other banks dream of. Come in and make the move today in our downtown Santa Barbara or Montecito Upper Village branches. American Riviera Bank, smart banking for smart people.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
I'm Kelly Marsh, Vice President, California of Cornerstone Home Lending, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara native who has spent the past 20 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit thekellymarshteam.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Cornerstone Home Lending can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act. California Residential Mortgage Lending Act license number 41DB072220. California Financial Lending Law license number 60DB072528. Loan originator NMLS number 245822. Not a commitment to loan. Equal housing opportunity.
I spend a lot of time in the backyard, and I'm the center of attention at summer barbecues. In 96, I made some of the tastiest s'mores. And in 09, it was me, your backyard fire pit, that accidentally started a wildfire when a summer breeze carried one of my embers into some dry brush.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence. So, Jennifer, is there a way to categorize who is interested in astrology as a way of better understanding yourself? Is it women versus men? Is it people of modest means versus people who are very successful and wealthy? Who typically is attracted to this?
Well, it's across every demographic at this point. Because I have reached a certain place in my career, I mostly work with people that have a lot of means, because I'm, you know, individually very expensive. So I work mostly with major celebrities or influencers or people that have a lot of disposable income from every single field. I've worked with scientists. I've worked with doctors. You name it, I've worked with them. And I don't really notice that men are less interested than women. I think that women have, for many, many years, been more focused on relationship perhaps, but I think that's also changing. And I've done a number of workshops where the young people are just on fire. They're the generation that's totally taken this into major popularity.
And you've also been a regular contributor to Goop. And you know that has given you some national and international exposure. Has that been fun?
Yeah. Unlike many people, I know Gwyneth personally. I've worked with her quite a bit. And I think she's one of the best leaders and people that I've worked with. Her organization is some of the most talented young people in the world. And I have had just a fabulous, great experience with Goop. And Elise Lonen, who's the chief content officer and runs the podcast, is one of the most admired women in my life. I don't know anyone that I think is more intelligent and sensitive and caring and inspiring than her. So it's been a completely positive experience. And I feel every day for women that are trying to lead in this world, because no matter who you are, people are looking for a way to take you down.
So I've never been able to use this word over the years on this show, but you have a podcast that you've been regularly appearing on called Sex with Emily. So I get to use the word sex. So what is this about? It's about how to enjoy sex with Emily. What is the show about?
Sex with Emily is the number one serious show on sex with Dr. Emily Morse. And Sex with Emily would be great, I think. She's quite attractive. However, it has nothing to do with that. It's about her educating anyone and everyone that has earnest sex questions. She's an expert on sex, but she's also an extraordinary human being, and her patience is legendary because people call in about everything. And I just
I was going to say, because Neil calls into the show too regularly.
It might be that, but I just am on there once a month as a guest, and I have a background in sex education as well. And so we talk about that, and we talk about astrology, and she's one of the bright lights of this world. And I know sex is her topic, but what she's really teaching people is acceptance and a healthy relationship.
Well, and at the core, that's what life comes down to, is relationships, regardless of what manner it is. And so now, what inspired you to write the book, Use Your Planets Wisely?
Again, because most astrology is very cookie cutter and very formulaic. And my particular contribution of psychology is much more about nuance and possibility and learning how to work at the different optimum levels of your personality. So it was a missing piece in the literature, and I felt like I had something to really offer there. And indeed, I've gotten a great response. So I think that's what motivated me. The way I teach it wasn't out there.
So tell us, what is your new book going to be about?
My new book's called Your Divine Possibilities. And that book is going to be a follow-up or a companion to this book called Use Your Planets Wisely. And it's basically going to be a combination of how to use your divine timing, how to work through relationship issues, and how to really focus on what are your unique gifts this lifetime and how to bring them to fruition.
You know, I feel very normal now. I think this was worthwhile. I haven't been able to see my therapist, but I think this was a good substitute. Could I stand up now?
Anyway, Jennifer, if only you had a couch.
Anyway, Jennifer, thank you so much. We love you. You've done some fantastic work with AHA. We look forward to your new book. And thank you all for listening. You've been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290, and we'll see you all next week.
It's